Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
Chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 7 and read a portion of this very familiar Bible passage. John chapter 4, verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Imagine that she's thinking, well, maybe he's saying he's going to do some sort of a miracle in order to get the water to be able to give to me. "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Notice what Jesus says again in verse number 10. "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink." I want to preach what I would entitle a simple message this morning. And we've given it the title, If We Only Knew. If we only knew. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful again for the privilege that we have to gather in your house, to be able to sing and speak of that name which is above every name. And Lord, the privilege that so many of us have, certainly a majority, that would profess to know you as our personal Savior. What a privilege. And I pray that you'll remind us, Lord, of what we have in you and what you have brought into our lives and what you intend to bring into the lives of boys and girls and men and women everywhere. Help us with that this morning. And I pray again, if there's somebody sitting here under the sound of my voice that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, help them not to leave in that same condition. Help them to come to terms with the need that they have. And Lord, they'd be willing to repent of their sin and come to Jesus today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is one of the more well-known incidences in the earthly ministry of Jesus. The woman at the well, as she's come to be known, has been at the forefront of many a lesson and message, and even in song. "Fill my cup, Lord," is a more popular, more modern hymn published either in 1959 or 1964 and written in the course of about half an hour by a United Methodist minister by the name of Richard Blanchard. Pastor Bush, you'll like this. According to Pastor Blanchard's testimony, while impatiently and frustratedly awaiting a tardy couple who was to receive premarital counseling from him. The Lord gave to him the song, "Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy." It became Blanchard's most well-known composition. My former pastor's daughter, Amber, now DePaula, also wrote a song featuring this Samaritan woman. She entitled it, "Come See a Man." Similar to the Syrophoenician woman, whom Jesus essentially referred to as a dog. We're not told the Samaritan woman's name, only given explicit and unbecoming details of her life. Even so, she was and has been, countless times since her day, a major witness to the life-changing power of the Messiah. This past week, I was struck by Jesus' words to her in verse number 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink." I realize that geographically speaking, Jesus must needs go through Samaria to get to Galilee from Judea. Judea in the south, Galilee in the north. And so he must needs go through Samaria to be able to get to Galilee. And that he was wearied with the journey, probably thirsty. Unless the detail was just left out, Jesus never received that which he requested from the woman, a drink. Read the entire passage. He never got what he was asking for. Also, the woman did not complete her initial task, drawing water. The Bible says down in this passage, she left her water pots behind and ran into the city. In our minds, this occasion then would have been a failure on both sides. Jesus didn't get what he wanted and needed. The woman didn't get what she came after. Maybe, just maybe, God had much loftier things in mind for this incident. Now I want you to notice a couple of things, and then we'll get to the message this morning. Number one, I want you to notice the drawing this morning. The drawing. Now look with me again, chapter number 4 of the book of John, verse number 7. And notice what the Bible says in the very first part of this verse. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." Drop down to verse number 11. In the middle of the passage, and she says to Jesus, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Think about this woman. Now, we don't really know a ton about her life. There are some specific details that are given to us to sort of help us to understand her real need. And ultimately, what Jesus did through her life to glorify and to exalt himself. But really, we don't know exactly why she was going out to draw water. For instance, was this her occupation? Certainly, it seems to me that she had a preoccupation with getting water. As a matter of fact, Jesus has to really sort of shake her, not physically, but metaphorically speaking, in the words that he's using to help her to understand, "Ma'am, you are focused on drawing water, but there's something much more at play here." But what is she doing? She is simply completing a mundane task requiring mundane talent. I would imagine, based on what I see in this woman, that she was not any kind of real special kind of a lady. She probably didn't have any
special skills or gifts or talents. And in some of the things even that we find out about her, all the times she had been married and all of that, maybe in many ways in life, she failed at many things. But she's just going about to accomplish a mundane task requiring mundane talent. May I say this, we as people, most of us, you know what we're doing in this life that the Lord has given us? I mean, I hate to pop our bubbles and burst our bubbles. You know, we may think as children, we've got these great things that we dream about doing and great things that we can become and all of that. But you know what life ultimately becomes for most people? It's a mundane task requiring mundane talent. Here we go again. Here we go again. Monday morning, getting up, doing the same old thing, going through the same old schedule. Somebody said the same old stuff on a different day. I like the book of Ecclesiastes as I think about the drawing and the focus that this woman has on this mundane task and getting it accomplished and getting back to whatever her normal day would bring about. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we hear from somebody who truly was special, who really stood out, who really had some great gifts and talents and abilities. And here are his words, or at least a portion of them. He says in verse number 3 of Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, "What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again, according to his circuits." This sounds like a lot of our conversation, is it? Oh, man, talk about that weather lately. And that becomes a topic of conversation. It's just a boring, same old, yeah, what about this time of year? Boy, it's starting to warm up. Yeah, it does that every year. But you know, we as people are so focused on the mundane things of life. We're just like this woman. We have a hard time seeing anything else. "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." Solomon continues. "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Boy, this is just the same old stuff in a different day. "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after." There's nothing that stands out. There's nothing that's special about this life, he says. "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem." He says, "I had ascended to some great heights. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold," notice this, "all is vanity and vexation of spirit." It's empty, it's meaningless. You ever feel that way? Maybe you're working a job that you've worked for a long time, and every day sort of seems the same. It sort of seems like, what do they call it, Groundhog Day? The same old stuff. "That which is crooked," he says, "cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I put myself in the shoes of this woman, but really I can put myself in my own shoes, and sometimes it just seems like we're just sort of plodding through this life, the same old stuff. None of this really makes any difference whatsoever, but we'll do it anyway because that's what we're supposed to do. So she's focused on the drawing. And when she's not focused on the drawing, number two, she's focused on the dealing. Well, if we can't talk about the weather and, you know, we can't talk about sports, how long have we been talking about that? Forever. There's going to be a new champion, you know, this year, and then there'll be one next year, and it's the same old stuff over and over again. But you know, if we can't talk about things, I tell you what we can talk about. We can talk about people. And we see it here in these dealings. John chapter 4, verse number 9, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Man, don't you know how things work? First of all, we just go through this life and we go about doing the task that we're supposed to do. It's really pretty mundane. And don't you know that we as people, we sort of stay in our lane? You know, you just sort of stay around the same people, you know, you get comfortable with the same old folks, and so you deal with the same old folks, and there's certain divisions because of geography or culture or what have you. And don't you know, this is just how the dealings of people go. Verse number 20, she says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." This is the dealings of people. This is a sacred place, this place called Oklahoma. Where the, what? How does it go? You Okies? I was expecting somebody to sing it. This is a sacred place, the place Oklahoma. And then you get down to a real sacred place. You know the one I'm talking about. And the folks there will say, no, this is the sacred place. But you know what? You can go on the other side of the world, thousands of miles, and you know what they'll say? No, this is the sacred place. So there's divisions. And we think we're special, and we think where we live is special, and that place over there is God-forsaken. These are the differences that divide us. It's the same old human relations. There are folks we get along with, and there's folks we don't get along with. Folks we like, and there's folks we don't like. There are folks that we're drawn to, and then there are folks like, I think we'll veer around, go way around those folks. Why can't we all just get along, somebody said. And really, when we think about these human relations and talking about people and the drama that comes with people, aren't people so dramatic? You listen to the stories that happen in families and at the workplace, and it's all the same old drama. It's the same old mundane drama. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying this morning?" The things that this lady was focused on, the drawing and the dealing, it was the same old stuff. And she probably could have said something like this. What a letdown. What a letdown. Do you see in this Samaritan woman, as she's talking to Jesus, do you see a smile on her face in your mind's eye? Can you see joy in her heart? Does she seem very, extremely excited about the happenings of her life? She doesn't. To me, she seems like she's kind of down on life. Just sort of going through the motions. And you know, sadly, so often many of us are just like her. That's how we go through life. Mundane tasks, mundane occurrences amongst people, and we're really let down by it all. And the problem is we've missed the most important thing, which is the drinking. See, she was focused on the drawing and the dealing, but I want you to notice the drinking. John chapter 4, verse number 7. I want you to look at it again. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse number 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever goes about life focused on the mundane task and the mundane dealings of people, that person's going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now I want you to think about this as we close out the message this morning. Jesus asked her for a drink, only to turn right around and offer her one. Was he really after a drink? Think about this. I think this is a lovely, beautiful idea. God approaches mankind asking for our gifts, which he doesn't need, only to engage us in order to offer his gift. Think about it. What is it that this life is all about? Well, it seems like, especially as we read the scriptures and we know what the Creator wants from us or for us, it seems like He's asking for our gifts. Give what you have to me. Give your life to me. Give your time to me. Give your talents to me. Give them to me. But what we have to understand about the Lord God is He doesn't need anything that we have. As a matter of fact, He's the one that gave it to us in the first place. And He's got plenty where that came from. So why then does He demand our gifts? Why then would Jesus ask this woman for a drink? Jesus could have gotten His own drink. And I'm not even so sure that He needed one. He never got one that I can see in the passage. No, the reason that He demanded this of her was to be able to engage her in order to offer His gift. Now I want you to look at some scripture with me, and we'll close this morning, but we've got several that I want us to see. Look at Ecclesiastes. Again, we read from chapter number 1. I want you to notice chapter 3 and chapter number 5. We're going to read two verses from this book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 13. Folks, I hope you get this. If we're not careful, we will look and sound and operate and maneuver in this life like the Samaritan woman came. Hear me this morning. She left totally different. But the way she came, I can just see her plodding along. I don't know how she was carrying all these water pots. You know, maybe she had some sort of a stick and they were hanging on the stick, and maybe she's, you know, coming through carrying along. No smile on her face, the weight of the world on her. I'm just doing the same old thing over and over again. Staying in my lane. Nothing special about my life. And then Jesus steps into the midst and says, give me a drink. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Well, this kind of encourages us some, doesn't it? I mean, Pastor, it's not all bad. There are times when I'm eating my favorite foods or drinking my favorite drink, you know, or maybe when I'm hanging out with my most favorite people, that life is good. Later on this week, there are going to be some of us that'll be on the lake and, you know, hopefully we won't be thinking about work and, you know, responsibilities and all those sorts of things. And life will be good for a little while. Then for most of us, we'll have to come back to real life and go about our mundane tasks and deal with the drama of people. So yes, to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of one's labor, I enjoy the things that God allows me to get accomplished. It's the gift of God. But there's got to be more to it than that. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 19. Ecclesiastes 5, 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth. Oh, here it is. I know what'll make me happy. If I get riches and wealth, surely that'll make me happy. And hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. You understand, Solomon is sort of guessing at some of these things. He's going through his life and going through the lives of others as he's observed, and he's saying, surely this is the kind of thing that ought to be considered the gift of God. Surely it's eating and drinking. Surely it's riches and wealth and power. Surely those are the things that should be considered the gift of God. But there must be more, because we see so many that have those types of things and they don't seem very happy at all. And then we see some that have none of those things seemingly, and they seem very happy. My wife watches these YouTube videos of people in far distant places, and you know, they sort of cook off the land and use very backward ways in order to do it and seem to have very little. But you notice, you know what you notice on those folks' faces so often? A smile. Joy. And we in America, we have so much. We have plenty. And it's hard for us to smile, so many of us. Is that all there is to the gift of God? Jesus says to this woman, if you only knew. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. How are you going through life this morning? Acts chapter 8. Notice verse number 20. Acts 8, 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God, notice this, may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. This Simon the sorcerer seems to have accepted the truth, received Jesus as his Savior. But when you look at his motive, it seems like he's just trying to get something. To get more power, more wealth, more riches, and he sees the way that the disciples and the attention that has come on their lives, and so he wants to go that route. But they say to him, you've gotten it all wrong. Your motive is impure. That's not the gift of God. That's not how it comes about. How about Romans 6:23? Some of us can quote that one, can't we? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 7 speaks about this gift and the uniqueness of the relationship that God wants to have with us. Now we're beginning to knock on what this gift is truly all about. Jesus said, if you only knew the gift of God, and He it is that says to you, give me water. 1 Corinthians 7:7, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Now, Paul is speaking here about the gift that God has given him of being able to remain unmarried. And he says, this is a gift. And I really wish that everybody was like me, but God gives gifts to people uniquely. And there's a unique relationship, there's a unique thing that God does between Him and His children, and this just happens to be my gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Look over at 1 Peter chapter number 4, are you beginning to understand? This lady was focused on the drawing and the dealing when she should have been focused on the drinking. And Jesus is helping her to turn around her thinking, to help her understand what really is important in this life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Have you received the gift? Have I received the gift? Do we operate in life like we have it? 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. James chapter 1, verse number 17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Have you thought about a perfect gift? I know what I'm going to get my spouse, my brother, my sister, my child. It's the perfect gift for a little while. And then we got to look for another, a new perfect gift. But my point is this. When we get the gift that God has to offer us, there is no more perfect gift. It's a beautiful thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, it helps us to understand this matter of drinking, this matter that I believe the Samaritan woman finally grasped and understood. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what our dealings are. It doesn't matter what our drawings are. He says, by one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. And then he says, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. To drink into one fountain, one source of life. A never-ending source. Now, what's the point this morning? Well, the point is this. We spend way too much time and energy drawing and dealing. I'm not saying that they're not necessary, folks. I'm not saying that the mundane tasks are not necessary and that dealing with people and their drama is not necessary. It is. It's necessary. But we put too much time and energy in those things instead of drinking. Ultimately, putting energy into those things and time into those things and putting all of our emotional existence into those things, ultimately drinking to live rather than living to drink. And what God wants us to do in the life that He's given us, He doesn't want us to drink to live. He wants us to live to drink. To drink what? The water that He has to offer us. Look at these couple passages. We'll be done this morning. For instance, Revelation 21:6. Revelation 21:6. Is there any real joy, real peace, real fulfillment in your life today? Christian, you that say you're a believer, I have the Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself lives in my life. Are we operating like that? Or are we operating like this Samaritan woman came to the well? Revelation 21:6 says this, and He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. It's a gift. Revelation 22, verse 1, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now that's some water that it sounds like I want to drink out of. Clear as crystal. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now we've got some good water back there in our multipurpose room. It's cold and it tastes good. By the way, it comes from a place that originated in Texas. I just want y'all to know that. That's a true story. That's a true story. Do your research. But there's no water like the water that proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse number 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you only knew the gift of God, and Him that is saying to you, give me a drink. We need to be reminded every once in a while, those of us that are believers, life is much grander, much bigger than just some drawing and some dealing. Psalm 42, the psalmist said it just right, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, I don't know what it is that we look forward to in our day, and maybe we really don't look forward to a whole lot. Maybe life has become like the Samaritan woman, where it's just the same old stuff and a different day, the same old people and their drama, until we have an understanding that today is a new day to come get the gift of the drink of living water from the Lord Himself. I first partook of it at the age of 6. And I can see times in my life where I've been more excited about it than other times. There are times where I forget and I get busy and sidetracked, and life is just about the drawings and the dealings. But then there comes times like the last couple of days where I'm reminded again, no, life's about the drinking. drinking that fresh, clear water that God has for us that satisfies our soul like nothing else can. I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about the spiritual and the moral, the mental, the emotional. Jesus satisfies it all when we come to Him. So we just need to be reminded today. If we only knew. Some of us act like we don't know. Like we've never come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We would go about life differently. You notice what happened with this lady? Notice how she went away differently. She left what she was doing. Her drawings, no longer important. Have you ever gotten sidetracked with Jesus and you were late for work as a result? You ever gotten sidetracked with Jesus and it was like, I don't care what their drama is today. It doesn't matter. It's Jesus and me. We're having a great time. That doesn't mean we don't have to deal with the drama. But I have something much greater. And this lady, when she left, man, she left almost without a care in the world. She left it all. She ran into the city. She's telling everybody, you got to go see this guy. And that's how our lives ought to be. There ought to be a freshness and a joy and a peace that people get around us and they're like, what in the world are you on? I'll tell you what I'm on. I'm on the water of life. And it's good. Come get a drink. There's plenty for us all. If we only knew. Could I say this as we close this morning? If they only knew.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.